Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the twice a week show on the internet where myself, my name's Dan Stelke, this other gentleman, his name's Daniel Roman, talk about everything sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Robot Sword. My name is Camilla Domingue. No, it is not. And everything of interest to us, you, and to the people of this fine, beautiful blue marble. Daniel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty good today. You know, it's another week of television and books and movies and all that stuff. And therefore, it is a good week. How are you, Dan? And how are all of you in the chat? Let us know if you're here.
Not bad at all. And Robert, we are whispering because why not? I like to change things up. I mean, what is life without a little bit of incident and variety? And we already have some folk in here who are questioning the title. And I will just say right up front. So Dragonheart 613. So we titled this video, is The Acolyte the best Star Wars show ever or the worst? I put both in there. Am I putting an inflammatory title in an attempt to get clickbait? No, I will deny that to my dying day. But we are here to talk about, of course, sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, which includes House of the Dragon. The Emmy nominations just came out. And last night, the Star Wars television show, The Acolyte, wrapped up its first and maybe only season. And I'll spoil this up at the front, Dragonheart. No, I don't think it was the best Star Wars show in the canon. It, I guess what we can say is, Daniel, was it the worst? Because this show got more than any other Star Wars show out there, got a ton of backlash and bad press during its run. The basic premise were a couple hundred years before the Star Wars prequel movies. A Jedi are getting murdered, and a couple of sisters are at the heart of the plot. The guy from The Good Place is a Sith, and he takes his shirt off and swims naked. And it all ends in a knockdown, drag-out fight between the Good Place guy, the sisters, and the main character from Squid Game. Daniel,
that was
I guess
really
my two questions are, did you enjoy the finale? And is the show as bad as people say?
Okay. I will answer both of these questions.
Good.
Yes, I did enjoy the finale, to my pleasant surprise. I think, Dragonheart, if you have only come to hate on The Acolyte, you might not know that we've been pretty tepid on The Acolyte throughout its run so far. Neither of us has really fallen in love with it. It seems like there are some fans who really, really love it. Some people really loathe it. I think the finale tied things together well enough that it didn't erase the show's issues. I think the show has some issues, full stop. It didn't make it a flawless show or anything, but I do think the finale was good enough that it made me like the whole thing a little bit more, because you could tell this was one of those situations where they built the whole show around leading up to this finale. You know, like sometimes you watch a show and it's like, oh, they ended their season and that's that. Sometimes it's obvious they had a pretty clear end thing in mind and a lot of it was laying the groundwork to get there. Like the pacing of The Acolyte, I think, was pretty bad. And I don't necessarily know that that was The Acolyte's fault or if it's Disney's fault for wanting it to be this format. Somewhere along the line, someone should have either given it longer episodes or pitched the idea of making it into a movie or something.
Yes.
I think either of those would have made it better. So like there are elements of The Acolyte that I still don't think worked very well, but I thought the finale really tied things up pretty solidly. So I enjoyed it, and I really did not have high expectations going in. So this is not me saying like, yes, I don't think it's the worst. So to answer your other question, does it deserve, look, you're squinting, but did we not all watch The Book of Boba Fett? Did we not all watch Obi-Wan Kenobi? I think there's some recency hatred, the opposite of positive recency bias going on with The Acolyte. When people say it's the worst Star Wars thing ever, I think one, there is kind of, and sorry to anyone who falls into this, there's the predictable backlash of this is a show that features characters of color in leading roles. And some people are going to hate on it just for that alone, which I don't know what to tell you aside from that's a you problem and not an Acolyte problem. But I do think, I think this one falls kind of somewhere in the middle. I think it had the best lightsaber work of any Star Wars show, actually. And I don't think it's particularly close. But I do think there were some script problems, some pacing problems. I'm not totally sold on Amanda Stenberg. The way they filmed the twin stuff didn't always work for me because, you know, there, it was just very limiting. Like once you pay attention to it, the fact that they could only have one sister's face on screen at any given time because the other was always a stunt double, like that became distracting. And I think it limited the sorts of storytelling they could do. So I don't think it deserves the level of hate it's gotten. I'm not surprised some people don't like it, but I do think it's kind of somewhere in the middle of the Star Wars shows. And I give it a lot of credit for trying to do something original when almost every other Star Wars show has leaned on the pre-existing work very heavily in one way or another. What do you think, Dan? Am I being too kind? Tell us how you feel.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I hear you, I feel you, and I respect you. I think you're being a little too kind. First,
that's
really
fair.
Quickly, a quick comment rundown. We will talk about The Boys. Zach,
yes.
You're right. It is doing a good job. We have not seen the next House of Dragon episode, but we just got the screener in. So if only it had come this time yesterday, we could have, well, not shared anything with you because we would never do that.
Nice.
We could have like winked at you and gone like, And some of you are reacting to The Acolyte. Fantasy fans saying, I think The Acolyte is not the best Star Wars show, but I still enjoyed it. I love the ending, but I doubt it will get a second season. And Jeremy Ice and Fire 33, fun name, in my opinion, worst Star Wars show Disney has put out yet. Soul was a great character. The rest was awful from acting, dialogue, set design, fight, choreography, casting, all pretty bad.
Are we watching the same show?
Let me go ahead and give you, fine, the lightsaber fights look cool. I mean, do, if a fight scene made a show or a movie good, that's a lot. That's some great news for some crappy action movies out there.
Sure.
I will say this for it. I agree with you. I did think the finale was better than most of the show preceding it.
Yeah,
they
totally.
They got the characters into one room. They had them really go at each other. It didn't overcome the basic blandness of the characters in a lot of cases. And the setup was weak. I mean, the whole thing is, you know, the one sister doesn't know that Saul, Squid Game Man, killed her mother. She finds out. But I remember watching that, and I remember the mother killing was like one of those House of the Dragon whoopsie moments where it was very unsatisfying how it happened. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of like an original sin thing. If you hang your emotional crux of your story on this thing that's really not anybody's fault, it can really only be so dramatically powerful.
Yeah.
And although, I mean, it's still people who are characters confronting each other and clashing. It was more fun to watch than the rest of the show, I thought. Best episode of the show.
I really liked Osha's turn.
Yeah, when the lightsaber turned red and the Kyber crystal was weeping and bleeding. That was
I mean, when she choked him. I mean, her full turn to being, you know, I don't know that we, yeah, you know, we haven't seen that a whole lot where a Jedi-ish type character, like obviously Anakin's the obvious example, but, you know, that went real bad for Anakin. So it was interesting to see this in a slightly, that sort of turn in a different context. But I mean, I agree with you. I don't think it erased the show's issues whatsoever. But like, was it the worst? I don't know, man. I just watched Jack Black and Lizzo in The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett. Obi-Wan was real weak. So
I didn't watch that. I'd say the Book of Boba Fett is the only one that might be worse for me, because the
Ahsoka?
Show was you thought this was better than Ahsoka?
I thought it ended
Ahsoka
much.
Was definitely
I think they
better.
I think they were opposites. I think Ahsoka started really strong and ended with a whimper. And I think this show was really rocky at the beginning. And then at episode 5, it started getting better. I think that's still the same issue of your show is not very consistent all the way through. But yeah, it's funny. Like, I really didn't like the Acolyte from both.
Everybody, we have an exciting Take the Black special where Daniel Roman sometimes gets a little wonky and it's hard to understand him because sometimes the internet goes out a bit. But you know what? I am Knuff, and I will try to fill in while he gets his internet together. I didn't like it very much. I agree with what you all are saying. Not too bad. I kind of agree with Zach that people expect it to be more dark and edgy and mysterious than it was, which was kind of a mistake to begin with, because if you're Disney and you have to capture the family audience and you know that you can't go too hard, you can't have characters do things like have sex or really explore deep, dark trenches of human behavior, and yet you want to have an edgy, dark show where folk choke each other out, there's a tension, and I don't think they really got over it. I do think some people, I've seen some criticisms online of logical inconsistencies, like plot holes. I'm not usually care too much about that. If the emotion works, I think it works. And I think I did more or less get the final confrontation, why Osha, Amanda Slamberg Part 1, was killing her old master. That more or less worked for me. And I saw people point out, but at the same time, there were some pretty Mack truck-sized plot holes. Like, I think it was some people online were saying that, okay, so the end, that green Jedi lady who apparently can control everything and doesn't have to go look for approval can just kind of explain everything away by Saul was the run rogue Jedi and he killed everybody. But I'm like, weren't there witnesses who saw Carrie Ann Moss killed by Mei? Like, that won't come up. Like, that kind of thing. Yoda exists in this story, but apparently he wasn't consulted by any of this. She has all this control. The memory wipe seemed very Deus Ex Machina. Why didn't she just go with them? The writing isn't terribly tight. And I think it hit a couple of highs in this final episode, but it just doesn't make up for it. And this episode had a share of problems too. No one ended up really popping for me. I didn't love any character. The best one was probably Manny Jacinto. That's the guy's name from The Good Place.
Yes.
Oh, what do they call him? Sith Trap, like Thirst Trap for Siths.
He was the best part. I agree.
Someone said it should have been about him. Like, just if your whole thing is you want to show how the Sith could be justified, and apparently he got screwed over some way, just follow him the entire time. I didn't like the flashbacks. The pacing was bad. The plot holes are there. Some nice moments towards the end, but overall, I'd say it was pretty rough. Yeah.
I think that's all pretty fair. You know, I thank you for holding it down while the internet here at the library was on the fritz. But what I caught of what you said, I pretty much agree with. Yeah, I think it's interesting seeing people in the chat saying things like it's really on Disney not learning from their mistakes. It's a Hollywood writing problem. I don't necessarily agree that it's a Hollywood writing problem, but I will say something that stood out to me about The Acolyte and has about Star Wars in general is that it really feels like, and I don't say this in a derogatory way, but it feels like fanfic to me in a way that some of these other expanding universes don't, because George Lucas's vision for Star Wars was like so specific to George Lucas, like steering the ship, that nothing that has been made since has really cap like it has all felt a little fanficish to me because it's other people playing in his sandbox instead of a creator with a vision making this thing. And I think The Acolyte, you know, I've seen a lot of like the Reylos. Do you know what the Reylos are, Dan?
People love Reylo so much. They want those two. That's what I would do if I were Disney. I'd make a romance about those two. Just ignore the canon. Just do them getting it on, and you would get passive seats.
It's a what if, you know, Rey and Kylo Ren lived happily ever after. That's the show. But this did have the, you know, the Reylos really, really loved the Acolyte on the whole, it seems. And I get why, but that's like the Reylo thing is fanfic, you know, like it is that sort of vibe as opposed to the George Lucas vibe, which it just is what it is. I
I
think
have a
Andor
question.
gets away from it because that's Tony Gilroy with his own specific vision.
Yes. I was going to ask, and I guess you just answered it. Has there ever been a situation where the original character behind this kind of forever ongoing story dies or isn't a part of it anymore, and the franchise still goes on to achieve great heights? And actually, as I ask this question, obviously the answer is yes, because there are comic books and Superman and Batman, Wonder Woman haven't been written. Spider-Man and X-Men have been written for like decades and decades and decades, and there have been hits under different creators. So I guess the answer is yes.
I think
And this can happen
comics,
too.
yeah, I think comics are almost a, I was going to say they're different because they're collaborative, but obviously movies are collaborative too.
I'd say a
Much
far
more
sight more
so.
collaborative.
Yeah, but I do think there's something about comics because they change the people writing them so much more often than like a George Lucas changes out of a Star Wars type thing. I think there is something to that where it's, you know, it survives transitions of creators and writers and artists better than something like Star Wars, where it was George Lucas's series that has now become other people's. I think there are examples of this being done well. I think Alien is one. And
Oh, yeah.
because Ridley Scott made
Well,
Alien, he was not even approached to do sequels. The second sequel is excellent. The third one is a lot less excellent, despite Charles
Yeah,
Dance being in it.
let's qualify. Alien was taken over and done a Ritter Rider really well once, and then it's been a little downhill since then.
Well, I have high hopes for Romulus,
Of
but I
course you
do think
do.
that's interesting because when Ridley Scott came back and did his own Alien sequels, they also like, I like Prometheus, but I don't think it was really the
It's cute.
Alien prequel anyone was hoping for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think there are examples, but I think it's hard. I think it's really hard to take a vision that was specific to some, you know, a specific
It's
creator
hard.
and carry that on. And that's why, like, the Andor approach, I just feel like worked so well because, like, Andor was not
Wonderful.
like George Lucas didn't make that character. And like the Acolyte made a bunch of new characters, but there's just something about Andor where the vision is so damn specific that it works.
I mean, you were saying that you gave Acolyte credit for not sticking to the kind of Star
Yes.
Wars template using that. I would give that credit to Andor. I think that feels extremely different. I'd say, even though there aren't many legacy characters, there are some, like Yoda appeared at the end of that thing. I'd say the
Yeah.
Acolyte definitely trades on, especially like prequel era, kind of Jedi are
Yes.
all high and mighty, and then there's like a couple of Sith looking in the shadows kind of thing. I think even though there aren't like literally, we're not following Bill Skywalker, like we're still, it's still very much putting a twist on very familiar Star Wars ideas. Andor feels different. Like, no Jedi, no lightsaber, no powers, just normal people kind of making maneuvers and getting into new kind of things. That's the way to iterate, because there's something completely different. So that I'm all for.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what I meant more with that is stepping out. So like Andor, you're right. It is very different. It's still set within the framework of the original movies. So that's a little bit more what I meant. Like The Acolyte is long before them. It's, I think, really one of the only Star Wars shows that has distanced itself time-wise that far from the original movies and the Disney sequels. But yeah, I think there's no, I mean, obviously Andor is still the king of the Star Wars shows. I don't really see that changing anytime soon. I think Andor season two, I'm hopeful it's going to be really, really good. But I'm still like, did The Acolyte make me excited for Disney Star Wars shows? Like, I'll be straight with you all. I deactivated Disney Plus after it was over and don't intend to reactivate it anytime too soon, because too many streaming services and whatever. There's other stuff to watch, and there's really nothing coming to Disney Plus in the relative near future that I'm excited about.
Disney Plus, I use very, very, probably my least used one. I don't have kids, so just like, what are they going to watch? Before we move on, I want to do two quick things. First, I want to respond to you guys are doing great comments as always. Dragonheart says, Leslie Headland, I hope she's never allowed to go near Star Wars again. we'll see what happens. Sweeta asks, have we seen House Dragon Episode 6? We literally just got the screener, Sweeta, so we haven't watched it yet. But even if we had, we couldn't tell you anything. So just envy us and we can't give you details. And Bushmaster, great. I'm still waiting for the Titanic sequel. So am I, told from the iceberg's perspective.
Nice.
I also want to say, I would too.
Just it'd be super artsy.
It's like
I've been
2.5
hours
for
a millennia
of just the iceberg, like empire, just like a shot of it, and then the boat will come through.
What do icebergs think about? I want to know.
They're water made of ice, Danny. They don't think of anything. And finally, I want to give a little. I want to reiterate a theory, a Star Wars theory I've had, and then I'll probably move on. That's okay. The Acolyte and probably the next show, The Skeleton Key.
Oh, yes.
Or
Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew.
Yeah, totally that agree with this.
They
theory.
Were greenlit during this kind of immediately before and post pandemic period when there was a guy named Bob Chapek in charge of Disney. And he was really big on like year round content, give him something to watch every week of the year. And they were greenlit in these Star Wars shows like crazy and these Marvel shows, which is how you got things that no one cares about, like Echo or like a couple of other Marvel series and these Star Wars series. Eventually, he got out. Bob Iger, the old CEO, got back in. And he's talked about we need to slow down with this stuff. We're oversaturating it. So my bet is that The Acolyte and probably Skeleton Crew were these Star Wars shows greenlit toward the tail end of this contentapalooza. And we'll probably see a slackening of that going forward as they try and focus on quality over quantity. The throw everything at the wall and see what sticks approach, they tried it. I'd say it didn't really work, and I'm happy that they seem to be taking a turn.
Yeah, I fully agree with that theory. I think it was in 2021 or 2022, whatever, there was a very infamous D23 event that happened under Bob Chapek's kind of reign, where Star Wars announced a ton of stuff and Marvel announced like phase 4, 5, 6. And it's kind of come out
graph. Yeah.
That famous graph that the boys spoofed like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And it has come out since that was pretty much because Chapek put pressure on Marvel and Lucasfilm to carry Disney Plus by, like you said, showing audiences, you will have something to watch every single day of every month of every year for as long as we make content. And obviously it has been shown that was a real stupid decision, because Marvel, there hasn't been a Marvel show, I don't think, on Disney Plus this year. I think to the relief of everyone. Hopefully
Echo this year?
Oh, yeah, except Echo. I forget because they punted Echo. Well, so I didn't even hate Echo. I thought it was a week as a show. I liked some of the concepts. I liked them centering Echo as a native character with a disability. Mm-hmm. I thought she was really good, the actress who played Echo, but the show was really middling. The Kingpin was lame, and they punted it out the door five episodes at once because they obviously weren't confident in it. And I think that's the sort of thing they really need to move away from if they want to retain the audience confidence. And I don't want to say I'm hopeful that's going to be the case, but I'm also more excited for Deadpool and Wolverine than I have been for any Marvel thing
True.
In years.
Me too.
So we'll see.
Yeah. And that's that. Disney. We'll see what they do.
Disney.
A couple of hours ago, they announced the Emmy nominations. Let's switch gears. Talk about that for a minute. Yes. We're not going to go over everything or anything, but some fun little highlights. Shogun, the FX series that we watched earlier this year and raved about.
Yeah.
Set in medieval Japan, got 25 Emmy nominations, the most of any program. And then behind that was The Bear, which got 23. So FX was murdering it.
And that would be The Bear season two.
It would have to be. It can't possibly this new one. Because Interview with the Vampire wasn't eligible this new season. And if that wasn't eligible, then The New Bear couldn't be, even though it's a travesty, it should be eligible.
Yes. It cut off on May 31st, I think, was the cutoff for eligibility. So Interview with the Vampire was in the middle of its season. So I guess the whole season had to be out.
Also got Best Actor nominations for Hiroyuki Sanada playing Tora Naga there, and Anna Sawai as...
Anna Sawai. Mariko.
That's the one.
She was fantastic.
I said it earlier today, and now I forgot it while I'm in the camera.
Well deserved.
They'll probably take everything. I'm going to guess that's going to sweep the drama categories. And well deserved. It was a wonderful show. Wonderful show. So I'm glad that's getting its flowers. It will.
Yeah.
Some other fun little notes in the sci-fi fantasy deal workspace. X-Men 97 up for Outstanding Animated Program. That's cute. Good for Disney Plus. What a win. Oh, that also came out this year. That's a Marvel show, technically, sort of, kind of. We got Jodie Foster as for lead actress in an anthology for True Detective Night Country, which I watched and I enjoyed quite a bit. So I would be happy to see her walk away with a pretty little statue for that. We got Matt Berry up for lead comedy actor as Laszlo in What We Do in the Shadows, which is good. Give him some plaudits. And then the two probably biggest ones.
Great.
Yeah. And then in best drama category, along with Shogun, along with The Crown, some other stuff, we got both Fallout and Three Body Problem, two shows that we covered a lot here and liked a lot. So it's cool to see all this dorky stuff getting into the hallowed halls of the Emmy voter rolls. I would bet $1,000 Shogun will win, but I like seeing Fallout and Three Body Problem in there too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, so this is Fallout being nominated. That's a video game adaptation, which that is a pretty big deal. I feel like The Last of Us is probably one of the few other ones that was nominated that was similar. Mm-hmm. That would have been
Game
last year. Well, that's not a video game.
Oh, sorry.
But still, your point about the nerdy stuff making it into best drama category is pretty awesome. But I agree with you. I would be shocked. Mm-hmm. And like, as much as I really, really loved Fallout and I really liked Three Body Problem. Like, they don't deserve to beat Shogun, I don't think. If Shogun doesn't sweep, I'll be shocked.
I mean, it could lose to like The Crown. They love rewarding dramas about the royals. The Gilded Age. I'm happy that a kind of wealth porn has found an audience. I like it. No, the Gilded Age, again, that is a guilty pleasure. Sometimes I once thought that like guilty pleasures weren't a real thing. I just like what I like. No, but I watched the Gilded Age and I'm like, I should not be liking this. This is so kind of confectionery and frills and just all frosting, no cake, but it's fun to look at. Everything's very pretty and the drama is so light and airy and kind of rich people problems, but it's just fun. I don't think it'll win, but Maybe some people like escapism. You know what's irritating about it? It's that, like, it's pure fantasy escapism that sells itself as, like, historical drama. And, like, something about that rubs me the wrong way. I don't mind pure escapism, but there's just something slightly uncomfortable about, like, that, Downton Abbey, even The Crown. Like, they're kind of beautiful wealth pornography that is trying to sell themselves as, like, historical accounts, which just doesn't really... I don't mind wealth pornography, but I wish it would just be a little more honest about itself.
What I'm hearing is that Bridgerton is the most upright of these period piece shows.
Maybe it's the trashiest.
It's the trashiest. It doesn't try to trick you into thinking you're watching actual history. It's like, look, we know that's not why you're here. Let's just have fun.
Yeah, I agree. I've never seen Bridgerton, but I do appreciate a costume drama that embraces the trash. So yes. Good for you. It is not nominated for anything. Couldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah. Valorius in the chat calling out My Lady Jane. Have you heard anything about that show, Dan?
Not really. No, I don't think so.
I think it's an Amazon show, similar sort of vibe to Bridgerton, but if it was more like A Knight's Tale, very, very funny show.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very fun. Ridiculous period piece.
There's a new kind of trashy looking gladiator show coming out on Peacock tomorrow called Those About to Die. You know, like we're about to die, to salute you. We put an exclusive clip actually up on our website. It looks pretty good. Like ancient Rome, that's always fun. Anthony Hopkins plays the emperor.
Wow.
Legendary actor Anthony Hopkins. Ewan Rayan, who was Ramsay Bolton in Game of Thrones, is one of the lead characters. It looked pretty good to me, although it did have Knight's Tale style, where it's like the trailer's like, you know, costume drama, ancient Rome, but it's like a rap song, because, you know, we're actually, it's more like modern times than you think it is.
Which, you know, if you're going to own that, then own it. But that's My Lady Jane is exactly like that. It's got the similar music, the similar vibe. And it's like, this is real on the edge of ridiculous, but you know it's ridiculous. So yeah. I can go along with that.
It's a little cringy, but the cringe is kind of part of the fun. It's like that English
it's
teacher
a delicate
says,
balance
like,
of cringe.
Yeah. Like, you might not think that Shakespeare and Jay-Z have much in common. Well, what if I played you this? That looks good. I might check that out.
Yes.
Those About to Die on Peacock, alternate episodes tomorrow. Anthony Hopkins, Ewan Ray, and other people. Okay, yes. Any other things about the Emmys before we move on to our next topic, Daniel?
I think there's one other thing I wanted to shout out, and that is that I think Lily Gladstone, right, and Callie Ooh. Reyes... I believe they were both nominated, and it was the first time that native actresses were nominated in their categories. So I've seen a little bit of rumbles about that as a fairly big deal that they both got nominations. But I don't have the, they make Emmy's history as the first Indigenous women nominated for acting. So that is pretty cool. It's a pretty interesting year, more interesting than usual for the Emmys, which I usually could really care less about the Emmys unless a show that happens to take place in Westeros is being featured heavily. But this year is a pretty interesting Emmy slate. So
yeah,
congrats to all the nominees.
How fun. We can't have a Take the Black show without at least checking a little bit on House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, Westeros. Again, we just got the screeners, so HBO, I love you forever. I'm going to watch it tonight. George R. R. Martin, author and a luminary, was going on a tear last week with blog posts talking about all kinds of stuff. It was very entertaining. Maybe one fun thing that stuck out was he took like the Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon design departments to task a little bit playfully, saying that they've gotten the Targaryen sigil wrong. He was very specific that it is supposed to be the three-headed dragon with 2 feet, not with 4 feet. And that apparently it had 2 feet up until season 5 of Game of Thrones. And then it switched over to 4 feet. And he didn't know why. He just kind of speculated maybe some person who was responsible for the designs read a little bit about medieval heraldry, where they do sometimes use four-legged dragons, and a little bit of knowledge goes along. It can be a dangerous thing, and they changed it. Cute, fun, noted. I guess bring back 2 feet. Why not? What do you have to lose?
This is, yeah, it is one of those things where it's like, look, you had it with 2 feet. I don't know why we would change it to 4 feet. And then this is a small potatoes complaint. And like,
it is.
You can tell he was having fun talking about how he made his dragons and all these things about them. But it is like, you know, he objected to it looking that way on how the dragon too. And I don't know why they would have just carried on with that. Because like, what a funny metaphorical, not metaphor, but like analogy, I guess, for the show going its own path and maybe to the point of folly, just that they had this correct sigil for the first 4 seasons that were much closer to the books. And then season 5.
Yep. A lot of that speech is kind of going in and out, but it was fascinating to watch you kind of turn into a slow-mo gargling monster. Okay, people, Daniel might be incapacitated for a moment, so I'll just talk until everything's fixed.
Everything's fixed. What?
Everything's fixed.
This is stupid. No, what happens?
It happens. The internet.
Ugh.
It was so good. Like, I was sitting here and you were talking, I assume making like really brilliant points about
of course
the 2-leg versus 4-leg, but you were like, like, is it gonna clear up, is it not? You sounded great. That would be a great special
cool
sound effect in like a Silent Hill game.
Great, love it.
Anyway, why don't you talk about at our risk, this beautiful new A Song of Ice and Fire box set coming out. That's
okay.
Cool.
Yes, I can do that. Hopefully I'll be able to do that. Yeah, there's a new box set of A Song of Ice and Fire coming out this November or October. I think it's October. They have a bunch of new covers, new bindings. These are not individual books. You have to get the box set.
Yeah, of course.
If you're a tired person who maybe has had your copies of A Song of Ice and Fire for, I don't know, 13 years, maybe 14 years, perhaps it's time for a new set. I will say, jokes aside, these are really pretty gorgeous bindings of these.
Yes.
We also have a picture of the first book in the series, Game of Thrones, which is really some fire, like gets a little logo ASOIAF on there, which the books don't always have. Am I wigging out again?
Okay.
Well, anyway, the books, the shows, they don't always lean into that gorgeous, gorgeous series title. So I like seeing that represented on this new box set coming in October.
Great. I'm enjoying this show. why don't I talk for a minute? Let's go on to the section. What are we watching? What are we watching or reading as we bring it on home? And I want to know what all of you out there are watching or reading as well. Oh God, help me. I'm not actually watching or reading much new. So I'm going to kick it back to Daniel in a second. I am rereading the 4th Wheel of Time book, The Shadow Rising, because true story, I finished the whole thing.
God.
I finished it a while ago, but I read it like in these little spurts over like a period of a year. I don't know. I never wanted to sit down and just like plow through it. So I finished it and then I figured, okay, we need to write something and do like a video about this. But then I put that off for like months and months and months. And I sat down to like my thoughts on it. And like, I remember like a third of what happens. So I'm rereading The Shadow Rising again, going much faster this time. I'm already a ways into it. And I want to do it before I plunged into A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms too. I wanted to clear that deck and then just have my brain ready for A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So I'm doing that. You can expect to hear about from me about that in the near future. I'm also still reeling from the end of Severance, which I finally caught up on. And still can't believe that folk had to wait like 2 years to see what happens next. That cliffhanger was killer. I'm happy it's finally coming out in January. Julie's watching House of the Dragon, of course. Evil and the Boys. The Boys is a good thing. Let's talk about The Boys.
Yes, let's do it.
Because someone in the front asked to talk about it, and we should, because it's going quite well. Most recent episode was a banger. Superheroes fought. New Black Noir can fly. There was a escalation into outright villainy for the Seven and Homelander that has been kind of a long time coming. And all I can say is that I enjoyed it. And I've seen the Tomorrow's finale, and I think folk will really like that one too. I thought the boys had a strong season. It's gotten more pushback than usual, and I don't really see it. I guess folk have been saying that it's too overtly political, which to me seems like a crazy criticism of the boys, which has always worn its politics so blatantly on its sleeve.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people point out like that I don't know, some of the plot twists can be a little bit far-fetched, but I think that's been kind of par for the course too. I've been enjoying it, and I think people will really like the finale. I enjoyed that as well, and I think sets up the final season very nicely. I hope that one comes back sooner rather than later. Probably won't, but that's another one that could really, if that came out the final season next year, it would crush. It would dominate everyone's headspace. It would be everywhere. It probably won't, and it'll be a little longer to wait for it. But I'm confident that when it does come out, it will be entertaining.
Yeah, you know, The Boys has always been a rock solid show. And I have to agree, I really don't get the pushback and the criticism. I feel like part of it probably has to do with more with our, and this is a specifically a US, well, maybe not specifically US, but I think it's especially present in the US, our politicized moments where people are looking for ways to be offended, because like The Boys is doing what it has always done. Like, you know, Stormfront was talking about like the white genocide in like season two. And like, that's a thing. Like I saw a video of a Fox News commentator talking about that like yesterday. So it is like The Boys is just being The Boys. I think this season is really good. I've especially liked some of the new characters, like Sage. I love Sage. Yeah. I think she's so interesting, and she brings something different. It's like the first time in a while the villains haven't just seemed like an absolute hot mess. Even though she's messy in her own way, they're all messy, but they're scarier now because it's not just hinged on Homelander being unstable. There are more villainous elements at play, and I like that a lot. Yeah, I think some of the layers with like everyone's going through their personal baggage all in the same episode.
Yeah,
like,
I guess that
I think
would
they tried
to.
Much. Yeah, I think they tried to tie it together thematically that way, but it almost feels a little too much because it's like, what are the chances that, you know, all six members of The Boys are going to be having their own existential crisis at the same time in the same season?
Bit.
Yeah, there are things like that, but like on the whole, I'm enjoying this season of The Boys at least as much, if not more, than last season.
Oh yeah, I would say so.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I power to The Boys. I can't wait to see the finale of that one.
I will say The Boys, because The Boys has always very purposefully been tapped into like what's going on now. Like Stormfront was very clearly like inspired by the Charlottesville riot and is named after like a alt-right website. You know, last season was tapped into Black Lives Matter and over-policing. It just, they have a way of feeling so immediate and relevant. And I know that there's a plot on the show. I won't spoil things to try and assassinate the president. And it's like, God, they just seem to stumble into this stuff by coincidence. I guess that's what, when it's like circuitous like that, when you're trying to be, to like predict the headlines, sometimes you end up predicting the headlines. So I'm curious how people will react to the finale. I liked
Me
it before,
too.
And then the presidential attempted assassination happened. Now I'm like, ooh, there's going to be some think pieces about this.
Yes, there are. And it's going to be crazy, like people saying, oh, The Boys like mocking this terrible moment or whatever. And it's like they filmed that like 2 years ago, so this is, or like last year, like, you know, they wrote it 2 years ago, so they really had a pretty crazy run of predicting this stuff. Oh god, I know, less choppy now.
No,
every
you're
time
good. You're good.
Am I? Is it true?
Yes, yes, you're actually good.
Man, it's something about this basement, I tell you. So yeah, the boys, the voice has been pretty good. Fantasy Fan says one more day till Cobra Kai's final season. I think the first part of their final season drops. I like Cobra Kai. I'm a little tired that they're always karateing in the valley. I love the first few seasons, but I'll watch the last season. I think Cobra Kai is ready to take a bow. But it's always a good time. It's never anything less than fun.
Nice. Anything else you want to mention before we bring it on home?
Yeah. Yes, Julie, I am talking gibberish again. It's what I do, apparently. So the last thing I will mention, if the internet will let me mention it, is that I'm reading The Mercy of Gods by James S.A. Corey. This is the new book from the authors of The Expanse. They're starting a brand new series next month. It's out August 6th. I've been really, really enjoying it. It's like an alien invasion novel where these aliens abduct humanity from this far-flung planet. And then they almost kind of force them into a type of Hunger Games, like specific humans that they've selected to prove that they could be useful to the hive mind collective.
Cool.
I'm like 150 pages into it. It's been so good. I can't wait to get home and read that instead of watching more Star Wars television is where I'm at.
It is over. And I think they will be better off. Good. Why don't we move on to our final section of the day? And by the way, I'm loving comments. Martha says, maybe bring aluminum foil for the library for a better connection next time. Just thoughts. Maybe. Wear one on your head.
Yeah.
Ooh, this time next week, y'all. Let's try and do the Wick round where we go through.
Nice.
I hit myself with this thing.
That was
we
good.
We go through a bunch of stories we couldn't get to the main body of the show and give our 20-second opinions. No more, no less. And we'll hope for the best. And if you happen to go connected, you know what happens, it's fine. But let's it'll add some tension to this exchange of news stories.
Get it out.
Let's
get it
begin
out before
with,
the internet falls.
Let's begin with a couple of Stranger Things hits. Daniel, Stranger Things is now halfway through filming the fifth and final season. What you think?
I think that's wonderful. It's great to hear that they're on schedule, they're doing well. That makes it pretty likely that we could see a 2025 release date if they're already halfway through filming. I'm going to stay confident for that. So I hope they're enjoying it because it's their final season, last time on set. Have a good time, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flawless victory. Speaking of Stranger Things, the Stranger Things creators are producing a new horror series. Something very bad is going to happen.
Yep. It's about the lead up to a wedding. It's a horror themed show about cold feet, I guess. So what does cold feet feel like? Apparently there are monsters involved. Good to see that they're laying the groundwork for what comes next for them. Obviously the brothers Duffer, Matt and Ross, will be hot commodities. Now they made Stranger Things, one of the biggest shows of the past several years. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
Daniel, I'm going to ask this. So AMC, the channel that behind things like Mad Men and other pop and Breaking Bad, they are going to make 13 of their series available on Netflix, including the first season of Interview with the Vampire. All you can watch it, and a bunch of Walking Dead spinoffs, Dark Winds, some other shows, all on August 19th.
Winds.
Is this a desperation or is it a good business move?
Maybe a bit of both. I think no one wants to subscribe to AMC Plus because there are just too many streaming platforms. But also, it is a good business decision to get more eyes on their big shows because people will be more likely to subscribe to AMC Plus or watch AMC. I cannot wait to watch Interview with the Vampire Season 1 when it's on Netflix, but also Dark Winds, which is produced by George R.R. Martin. That show has been getting a lot of positive rumbles, so I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah.
All right. So here's one for you, Dan.
Uh-huh.
It's Círdan. Sorry, Círdan. It's Círdan, the shipwright from the Círdan. All right. It's an elf. He's got a beard. It's him. He's a shipwright from the Rings of Power season two. Who is this?
Yeah, he is a very old elf, even old by elven standards. And in J.R.R. Tolkien's mythology, he's going to be brought in the second season of Rings of Power by Ben Daniels. It's hard to know if he'll be a success. I'll just send my last few seconds to say, like, elves with the C's are hard K sound, like Kirdan. I guess that's the way they pronounce them in like old English, Gaelic, whatever. But just
that makes
just
sense.
FYI, for all you out there, that's how to say elven names with C's in them. Find a C, it's a hard C.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Daniel, I'm going to ask you this because I know that you have watched the show and I have not. Okay. The first picks from the new half season of Outlander are out, and new picks from the Outlander prequel show, Blood of My Blood. Are you hyped?
I don't know if hyped is the word I would use. I'm mildly interested. I fell off of Outlander during season six because I got tired of the fact that sexual abuse is their like way to do like a big showstopper episode. That just turned me off after six seasons of watching it. But I know a lot of people love Outlander. It is exciting to get a glimpse of the second half of season seven and the prequel series. All right, I will ask you this one, Dan.
Okay.
So reactions to the first 35 minutes of Deadpool and Wolverine are very positive. Will this movie be the new king of Marvel movies?
I know they're hoping that it will be. And I think there's a really good chance. It's like you said earlier, Marvel has kind of, I don't know, felt more dull than it probably should be for a while now. And this movie feels different. This movie feels like it's got a good marketing thing. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman obviously are pushing hard for people to see it. I think it'll be a giant success. And I think it's good because it'll prove that the quality over quantity push works.
Yes. Hard agree with all of that.
Cool. Dan, here's a little fun sci-fi fact for you. Scientists are building a Dune-inspired still suit, like the kind that Paul Atreides wears, Timothée Chalamet. No, by the way, his name is pronounced Timothy Chalamet.
Not Chalamet. He's not an elf.
Anyway, the still suit will recycle urine into water, and they want to get it ready for like spacewalks by the 2030s.
I don't know whether to apologize to future astronauts or say good luck to you for drinking your own urine. But no, that's great. You got to love symbiotic relationship as old as the genre. So that's real cool. I hope that their still suits work pretty well in space.
Me too.
All right.
Okay, last one.
Oh, this is interesting. So this we are going to end with a bit of streaming wars news. So streaming accounted for 40.3% of television viewing in June, the highest percentage ever.
Yeah, not only so that means that like when you take all the ways folk watch TV, like just linear cable streaming was over 40%, more than it's ever been. In fact, it's more than anything's ever been in the entire history of TV. Like before, between cable, linear, other stuff, it was always like no one got to over 40% or that level. Streaming has now eclipsed that. It's what's for dinner. All right, everybody. This is a fun one. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for having fun with us. Thanks for your comments and your questions. And also, preemptively, thank you for your likes, your subscriptions, whatever you would like to support us here at Take the Black Live. We're here every Wednesday, 2 p.m. CST, on the Winners Coming YouTube and Facebook page. Also, we'll be talking about the latest episode of House of the Dragon every Sunday evening, right after the episodes air, same places. Winter is Coming YouTube and Facebook. We just have the screeners. We're prepared for you on Sunday night. Join us then. Join us on Wednesdays. Download us in podcast form. Listen to us at the gym, in the car, while you're doing laundry, washing the dishes. Whatever things you do when you listen to podcasts, or just sit in your room alone like I do and turn the podcast and just say, I'm coming out in 3 hours, and then do that. I've enjoyed hanging with you, Dan. Enjoyed hanging with all you out there.
It's always a pleasure, Dan.
Soon. Good. Bye.
Peace out.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.